Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
It's time to stop activist judges that are issuing these nationwide injunctions. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, and you and I have been discussing that, you know, President Trump is doing his part. He is going lightning speed to get things done, as he promised. Promises made, promises kept. But we, the people, have to do our part. And the frustrating part on this issue is that we're watching these judges blocking him on all these different things he's trying to get done.
Yeah, and they're going way beyond their authority. Yeah. So you have a single judge out on the West Coast, for example, giving a nationwide injunction that actually not only affects the nation, but actually affects USAID federal funding recipients around the world,
yeah,
up to $2 billion.
And he's even been fighting against the Supreme Court trying to get these things done.
So he's won a couple of these significant battles on the Supreme Court level by a 5-4 vote. So it's amazing how fast these things are moving. But what we see happening is there's judge shopping going on. So President Trump issues an executive order, and those that don't like President Trump's actions, they go out and file a lawsuit against everything he's doing, and they file it in a jurisdiction where it is dominated or most likely to draw a judge that is appointed by Obama or Biden.
Right.
Because every one of these judges that you see happening right now, where these cases are taking place, they're appointed by Obama or Biden.
That's why it all goes back to elections matter.
So that's right. It goes back to elections matter, and they're judge shopping all over the country. So they're finding judges anywhere in the country, and they're filing cases there.
And it's frustrating.
Getting those judges on the case. And then those judges are issuing these injunctions, and these are nationwide injunctions that go beyond the actual parties to the case. Now, the Supreme Court has already indicated some comments in previous iterations of nationwide injunctions that they don't like these nationwide injunctions, that they don't like these expansive injunctions that go beyond the parties. So, for example, you have a plaintiff and you have a defendant. The plaintiff wants to have an injunction to prevent you as a defendant, the government, from doing something. Well, if the plaintiff gets that injunction applies to that plaintiff, the person before the court, because the court has a specific person with a specific set of facts, with a specific request, and if they win based on the law, then that injunction applies to them. Well, how does it apply to somebody else? The only way it applies to somebody else is if somebody else brings a lawsuit. And then they have another person with a specific set of facts that they can consider. Or in the case of our lawsuit on behalf of the military, this is a great example. Remember when we were litigating the military? Mm-hmm. We had cases involving different members of the military against the Department of Defense or against the Marines or the Navy. And we were arguing that they had a religious freedom right that was violated. Well, when we got the injunctions, who did it apply to? It applied to the people that we were representing. So remember the one situation? We had two lieutenants, one that we represented, one that we didn't represent. Both of them were in the same unit. Both of them were told by the same person on the same day, a Wednesday, that they needed to get the COVID shot by Friday, otherwise they would be removed from the military. Well, one of them was already a named plaintiff in our case. The other one was not, but they were in the same exact situation. So we went to court immediately, and we got a temporary injunction on behalf of our lieutenant. Friday came, the other person is discharged. The following week, we come to the hearing to extend the injunction. We have our person that we represent, and then the other person we call as a witness, now he's just been discharged because he wasn't part of our case. He wasn't our plaintiff. Now we win a preliminary injunction on behalf of our person. That protects our person, but what about the other person? The other person didn't get protected because the other person wasn't our plaintiff. The only time that we're able to protect people that are outside of those that we specifically represented is when we got the case certified for class certification.
Class action, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Then we have certain representatives that are representative of the class, but then the injunction applies to everybody who fits that class. But there's a lot of criteria that you have to go through to get class certification. So that's how the injunction applies to people that are not before the court. Only if you get the class certified, and it's a specific process to get the class certified. But what's happening here is, take the case with the USAID. Somebody files suit, and the Trump administration says USAID's not going to fund these foreign entities anymore. So they're freezing all the funding, $2 billion. So somebody files suit, claiming that they should still get funding. So if they get an injunction, then it should only be funding for that one person. But what did the judge do? Reinstated all the funding for all of the people in all of the world that would get up to $2 billion in funding. The only way to do that is by a class certification, and there was no such thing. But they get a nationwide injunction that goes beyond the actual parties to the case. And by the way, the other thing that they should have done is, if there's a monetary benefit involved, a monetary risk, so in other words, in this case, if you send out $2 billion, the government has sent out $2 billion, what happens if the government wins and the plaintiffs ultimately lose and their injunction is reversed? Well, what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to put up a bond equivalent to the amount of money, and they're not being required to do that. So all these injunctions are wrong. There's two bills in Congress, H.R. 97, H.R. 1526, and they will limit these nationwide injunctions and those that extend beyond the parties of the case. So we're urging Congress to support these two bills and end nationwide injunctions. Now, it has to pass both the House and the United States Senate. So passing just one chamber is not enough. It needs to pass both, and then it needs to go on to the president's desk. Where we're going to see the battle is in the United States Senate, because we have to overcome a veto. And I should say, not a veto, but we have to overcome the 60-vote requirement in order to get this vote passed. So that's going to be where the battle is, but we should really focus that battle in the United States Senate and pass these two bills to end these nationwide injunctions that go far beyond the parties to the case.
Yeah, and I think it's so important that we have other strategies, because most of these judges are pretty much in for life, aren't they, unless they get impeached, and that's pretty rare.
Yeah, all the federal judges are appointed for life. It's very rare to have a judge impeach. And like I said before on this program, there's only been one judge impeached in my lifetime, and that was Alcee Hastings down in Miami, because he took bribes from parties before the case. Very outrageous situation. He was impeached. But then he ran for office as a Democrat and won in the U.S. House, and then served up until his death as a member of the United States House as a Democrat.
So being proactive is so important. Otherwise, you're just beating your head against the wall, because, you know, we're dealing with the leftovers from the previous administrations. So we have to, in order to help facilitate what President Trump is doing, we have to take action.
Yeah. So don't just sit there and say, well, you know what? President Trump is taking these cases up to the United States Supreme Court. Look, this case that he had at the United States Supreme Court recently with regards to the act that he used to deport all of these gang members to El Salvador.
Which you think is great. We need to get them out of here.
That was a 5-4 decision.
Yeah.
And Barrett was on the other side.
That was...
That's too close.
Yeah.
Now, it allowed him to continue to use that act, but that's too close.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not over with, by the way. That's a temporary ruling. So that could change. So we can't just rely on President Trump doing this. He's doing the right thing. He's setting the template. He's kind of like the person at the starting line, and he's pulling the starting gun to start the race. And he's behind you, and he's cheerleading, mm-hmm. and he's doing all he can, But you know what? You got to run the race.
Exactly.
You can't just sit there on the starting line and expect that you're going to win.
Okay, coach, you do it for me.
No. We got you here as the person to start the race. So no. We have to get involved. We have to put these executive orders, these other things, into law so that they're not easily changed. So go to Liberty Counsel's website. Liberty Counsel Action as well has this particular information. LCAction.org. Send faxes, sign the petition, and stop judicial activism. LCAction.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.